right. We are in Genesis chapter 27, beginning our study that we've entitled Brothers. We're in the third part of looking at Jacob and Esau. Just to refresh your memory really quickly, you remember that when Mother Rebecca was carrying these twin boys, they were already struggling in the womb, and there's a prophecy given that the younger would be superior and would kind of take the firstborn's role, even though he was the secondborn son. We looked last time where Esau sells his birthright for dinner. Remember, he came in and basically he didn't hold that as being of value. Now we come to chapter 27, and this is not a pleasant story. There's nothing about this story that's pleasant. There's not like, oh, it has a happy ending at the end, at least at the end of the story we look at today. It's not that there's a villain and a hero. They're all villains. Okay? Everybody in the story is not doing what they should do. It's just not fun. But it does teach us some valuable lessons that we're going to learn tonight. And some of them will have to do with relationships, although many of these lessons that are for life. Now, it covers the entire chapter, so I'm going to kind of skip around. I'm not going to read every single verse of the chapter. I'm going to kind of condense the narrative just a little bit. But we do have to read a considerable part just to get the flow. So if you look at the very beginning of the chapter, verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass, when Isaac was old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, 'My son?' And he answered him, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Behold, now I am old, and I do not know the day of my death. Now, therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, and that my soul may bless you before I die.'" Now, that "bless you before I die," in their culture, in their day, that was a code word for something very special. It wasn't just, "I'll say thank you," but this was the blessing of the father that was specifically given to the firstborn. That was part of their culture, part of their custom. A plot is hatched in verse 5. Now Rebecca, that's the wife of Isaac. Now Rebecca was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebecca spoke to Jacob her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau your brother, saying, 'Bring me game and make savory food.'" Verse 8, "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats that I may make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death." And that's not all. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver of him to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. Mama, this could backfire." Look what Mama says. But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me." And he went and got them, brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. And Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son, so they braided Esau's closet, in other words, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son, and she put skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. So she, I know what you call a hair you put on your head is called. I don't know what you hair you put on your arms and neck, but it's trying to be a ruse or a deception if Casey touch him, because Esau was a particularly hairy man, according to the scripture. And that's all set up. Now, let's just pause there for a bit in the narrative and just do a quick summary. Here's just the bare facts. Rebekah and Jacob plot to take the blessing away from Esau. Okay? And so Rebekah and Jacob, they're on the bad list. They're on the villain list. And remember, I told you a moment ago that everybody's on the villain list. What about Jacob? I mean, isn't he the innocent party here? The father just wants to bless his son, and his own wife and his other son trick him? Well, there's a little bit, maybe he's a little more subtle, but you remember, even before the birth, God had specifically said, whether Isaac liked it or not, whether it was culturally proper or not, whether it was had never been done before or not, God had specifically said the older will serve the younger. That was God's decree. So there was not an acceptance of what God said. He was still rejecting that prophecy because he is determined, because Esau's his favorite, he's going to bless him. He doesn't really care what God has said about it. Secondly, there's something else, and if you go back to verse 34 of the preceding chapter, chapter 26, verse 34, it says, when Esau was 40 years old, he took his wives, Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and they were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. Esau, as well, is not a hero in the story, because remember, he sells his birthright for just nothing, in essence, which he was disrespecting his heritage, disrespecting God, and so forth. And then he marries these two foreign women, which was not what should have happened. And you remember Isaac, when we didn't study that as part of this series, but you remember Abraham sends Isaac off to another country because he doesn't want him to marry outside of his own people. And so, and it says this was a heartbreak, in essence, to Rebekah and Isaac. So Esau is not living as he should. His lifestyle is corrupt. Jacob is not listening to the voice of God. And Isaac is not listening to the voice of God. And then Jacob and Rebekah are plotting. So all four characters in the drama, no good. Sometimes we think of poor Esau. You know, he's the innocent victim. Well, he is the victim of a plot by his mother and his brother. I understand that. But there's no way you could say that he's an upstanding, doing everything right person. And before we get too snooty here, and one of the things that bothers us about this story sometimes is, how can God be working with these sinful people? Because you remember now, God is carrying out the Abrahamic covenant, which is a covenant through all Israel that's going to bless all the nations, and through this people, the Messiah, our Savior, is going to come. How is God pulling that off with these bunch of rascals? Before we get too snooty, you remember this. The only people God has to work with are sinful people, because we all are. If God can work through people, he's got to work through sinful people, maybe redeemed and saved sinful people, people that are changing, but at the best, we're all corrupt. The fact that God can work among and through any human is a decidedly powerful statement, first of God's sovereignty, God's creativity, and God's grace. If he can work through people like us. And let's just, if you want to see a few more rascals, just look around. It's us. You want to see one? Just look here. I mean, that's just us. We are all flawed, and our records are imperfect, and we are all still struggling to be what God wants us to be, in spite of being his children. So, second point on the facts. Isaac still favored Esau in spite of his behavior. That was the marrying the wives and all that. Now, what is this blessing? It's hard for us to understand the significance of this blessing, because it just sounds like something you would wish for your children as you're growing older. We want you to be blessed and have these things and so forth. But you understand, in Western culture, Western thinking, which is us, we are very objective. It's all in objects and tangible stuff. We think of an inheritance in terms of how much somebody leaves and how much somebody gets after somebody dies. That's what we think of inheritance. Or furniture, or even if it's not of monetary value, something's emotional value. You know, this belonged to my great-grandmother, this dish or this picture or whatever, that kind of thing. In their culture, the inheritance was not so much economic. It was not so much stuff. It was not about possessions. It was about place. The firstborn that got the blessing was going to take the place of the patriarch of this family. He was going to step into this role, and this role was to be a spiritual leader as well as a leader of the family. So it was kind of like the inheritance of my position, not just the inheritance of my possessions, although possessions would be part of it. So the blessing, and there's actually some documents that's been found that are outside of biblical the biblical record, where these kinds of blessings, particularly on the firstborn, were actually spoken orally, but also then written down. And in the culture of the day, they were viewed as a binding legal last will and testament, so to speak. So, I mean, it was a very serious thing. And Esau wants it. Isaac wants to give it to him. Rebecca and Jacob are plotting to take it away from him, all right? Now, let's just wrap the facts of the narrative up. Verse 18 is where we left off. So this is now Jacob now. So he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am." "Who are you, my son?" Now, verse 19 is the bottom rung of the ladder here. Okay, I'll just warn you. And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn." How would you classify that statement? It's just a big fat lie. There's no wiggle room. It's not, "Oh, I'm sorry, Dad thought it was the other guy." That's bad on you, Dad. I mean, he just lies directly to his father. That's all you can say. He says, "I have done just as you told me." That's another lie. There's not been any game killed. He didn't fix it. "I've done just as you told me. Please arise, sit, and eat my game." Another lie. "That your soul may bless me." He kind of wants to keep that seed in Dad's mind. You know, I remember the blessing part. And Isaac said to his son, I think Isaac is deceived, but it takes a little convincing. He says, "How is it you found it so quickly, my son?" Boy, that didn't take long to go out and hunt and, you know, kill the game and clean it and haul it back and cook it and prepare it. He said, "How did that happen so quickly?" Maybe this is the bottom rung of the. It's all pretty low on the order. Okay, he says, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." That's pretty low too, isn't it? I told you there's nothing real fun about this. You know, he's telling lie after lie after lie. How did it happen? Well, God blessed me. Let's throw a little God sprinkle. Let's put a little God seasoning on my lie, and maybe it'll make it a better lie, right? No, it doesn't. It's still a lie. Then Isaac, verse 21. And Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." He's a little skeptical. I mean, so apparently he's rubbing his neck and his arms and he feels all this fur. And so verse 22, so Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." There might have been some problem with the man's sight, but he was still able to discern something in the hearing. So, but he says, and he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's, and so he blessed him. So their plot to have the neck wig and the arm wigs must have worked. It did work. In verse 24, we have another round. And he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he said, "I am." Just repeat the lie. Repeat it often enough, maybe someone will believe it. And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." He's still checking him out. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said. Now, we're going to come back to that part in just a moment, but then he gives the blessing, which is verses into 27 through 29. Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren. Now that's a key. Remember, this goes all the way back to the prophecy before birth. And let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. Now, those words are spoken by a man, but they're spoken by a man who is tapping into the covenant promises of God given to his father Abraham and passed down to his descendants ever after. And the descendants of Abraham are still a special people in God's eyes. It doesn't mean they're as a nation or as a majority obeying God or so forth, but the promises stand sure to them. And by the way, that should be a warning to all of us. We should not be cursing the people that are God's people. We should rather be blessing, because that's God says, I'll bless you if you bless, I'll curse you if you curse. That's God saying that in the Word. So, verse 30, and so it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his brother, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. Did they not think this was going to get found out? Did they not think ahead? Did they not care? I really don't know. But the Word of God says, be sure your sin will find you out. It doesn't say, maybe. There's a high probability. It says, be sure your sin will find you out. Why? Because God knows everything. You can pull something over on your father. You can pull something over on your brother. You never pull anything over on God. He sees and knows all. And verse 31, he made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of my son's game, that your soul may bless me. His father, Isaac, said to him, who are you? And he said, I am your son, your firstborn Esau. Well, it's all out now, 33. And Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who? Where's the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate of it and blessed you before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed. And Esau heard the words of his father, and he cried an exceedingly great and bitter cry, and said to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. So there's this emotional scene. And verse 36, I want to read this. He says, 35, he says, your brother came with the seed and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob, which means trickster or supplanter? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he's taken away my blessing. He said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? And he kind of weeps and cries for his father. And look what the father says. And Isaac, his father, answered 39 and said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of the heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck. That's the way it is. Let's just talk about their failures, and then we want to get to the lessons for us. Kind of had to get the whole story told before we get to this part. So thank you for being patient. Well, what's the failures? Isaac, let's talk with him. We've already mentioned it, so I'll just read it quickly. He failed to listen to God's predictive words, God's prophetic words. He was still determined to bless Esau. Rebecca, her failure was she took things into her own hands. Rather than saying, God's going to do his will, I should not have to resort to deception to do God's will. There's something fundamentally, absolutely, without exception, wrong with that. Okay, so we understand that. Jacob failed in being truthful, even to his father. I mean, talk about insulting and talk about disrespect and on all these levels. And it wasn't just like, kind of like at a moment he told a lie, which would be bad enough. But this was, there was premeditation all over this. Okay, this was a design thing. Esau failed then that he didn't value his heritage, his father, or his God. He didn't value his God because he sold his birthright and also with his father and his heritage. He didn't stay within the parameters of marrying somebody from his own people. He marries these pagan women of Hittite origin and so forth. What are the lessons for us? There's four of them, and then one I want to hit just kind of in summary a little more in more detail. Number one, God needs no help to take care of his business. God does not need any help to take care of that which is his business. What are some things that are God's business and not ours? How would you answer that question? That we should just let him be God and he doesn't need any help from us. Now, obviously, there's some things we do need to give our voice and our efforts to. What would you put on? Can you think of anything? What's that? Yep. It's our job to share the word, but God does the saving. The Spirit does the convicting. The Word of God creates what it creates of faith. And you know, and And I don't think any of us can fully comprehend all the things that God does to bring that to pass. But, you know, well, if you just would have turned up the heat a little more, maybe it'd have been saved. Well, maybe we can be more effective in our communication. But no one is ever saved because we persuaded them to be saved. Amen. He is. Another one I'm sorry, go ahead. He gives the increase in our lives. That's right. You notice in these things, it's all about God. And that's the way things are to be. God gets the glory. He gets the credit. How about setting right all the wrongs of the world? Now, we should live for justice and strive to encourage justice. But the Word of God specifically says, vengeance is mine. You don't need to be everybody else's judge, jury, and executioner. And some things may have to wait till judgment day to get all resolved. Maybe it's not on our timetable, but we have to just leave those things with God. The things of prophecy and what God has said, and this is where they really messed up. This is where Rebecca messed up. He wants to give the oldest the blessing. We can't have that. Let's lie. Well, what would have happened if Rebecca hadn't? I don't know, but God could have done something without Rebecca's help. I mean, he could have overruled the words that were spoken. I think a few weeks ago, in another series we talked about Balaam's donkey that talked to him. Remember, Balaam was hired to curse Israel. He was paid good money to curse Israel. He stood up to curse Israel. Remember what happened? As soon as he opened his mouth, blessings come flowing out. God just scrambled the words and switched it around. He could have done that here if he wanted to. I don't know what God would have done, but they did not have to do that. Number two, acting rashly often leads to regret. Acting rashly often leads to regret. We've all been there. What was I thinking? And usually when we use that phrase, what was I thinking, that really is code word for why was I not thinking? Why did I not stop and think? Why did I not reflect? Why didn't I think about where this could lead? Why didn't I think about the ramifications? But I think this was, she hears him say this, and then mom comes and tells me this, we got to do this, and off they go. It gets us in trouble. That's one of the real reasons we need people in our lives to check us and to, you know, I'm thinking about whatever. Would you pray with me about this? What do you think about this? What kind of counsel would you give? You know, in a multitude of counselors, you know, as it says in Proverbs. That's where we find wisdom. Number three, dishonesty always leads to broken relationships. Because the basis of genuine relationships is trust and honesty. I mean, that's the glue that holds them together. And look at the end result. I kind of left a verse or two. Look at verse 41. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning of my father at hand, then I will kill my brother Jacob. That is a family issue, a family crisis. That's dysfunction. Verse 42, and the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she went and called Jacob, for her younger son, and said to him, surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran. In other words, you got to get out of town. You need to get out of this country. And stay with him a few days until my brother's fury turns away. It was a much longer period than a few days. This family is fractured. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. She doesn't want Jacob to marry outside the clan. So basically she gives a command, you know, got to get a wife when you're over there at Laban's. And you know the story of Leah and Rachel, right? Thank you. Get my names mixed up. But it breaks this relationship, and this family is divided from this point on. And we'll look at the resolution of it, Lord willing, next time. This is the last one, and I want you just to think through this one with me. And this is kind of it's sort of an undercurrent that flows through this text. And I've never seen this before, and I was just really kind of restudying it and thinking this through. But it's a very it's very evident that it's in the text. Okay? Here's the summary. Faith is not dependent on our senses. But I want you to think, all of the senses that we as humans have are in this story. In verse 1 of chapter 27, Isaac says, was old and his eyes were dim. He couldn't see. Part of the story is the sense of sight. And because he couldn't see, that was leveraged into the deception. Number 2, there's hearing. Taste, I should say. Verse 4, and now make me savory food such as I love. What was motivating him was, I want to eat some of what Esau brings me. I want to have this little feast with him, this celebration, this special meal, and then I'm going to give you my blessing. So taste is on display. Hearing is on display. Down in verse 5, Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field and so forth. And she says in verse 6, indeed, I heard your father speak. So you have taste, you have hearing, you have sight mentioned. You have touch mentioned down in chapter 27, verse 11. He says, look, my brother's hairy and I'm a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me. And indeed, that's exactly what happened. So there's a sense of touch. There's also smell down in verse 27 when Isaac commands Jacob in the masquerading as Esau, come over. Okay, must be you. I've got enough sensory information, even though the hearing's a little, maybe I'm just getting old and confused, but it feels like Esau. He claims to be Esau. He smells like Esau. He must be Esau, right? Wrong. And I think the reason that all five of our senses are mentioned in the story is to remind us that all of those senses can be deceived. And if we only rest on our senses and our intellect that processes the information from our senses, we can be deceived as well. We need to have help beyond our senses. I mean, I saw it. It looked so good. Oh, what they told me sounded like what I should do. And what I, you know, whatever the senses are. Now, there's two main things that God gives us to guide us away from an overdependence on our senses and to connect us back to Him in faith. One is what He says, the Word of God. If these four people would have calibrated everything, whether they liked it or not, if they would have calibrated everything to what God clearly said in a prophetic voice, while Rebecca was still pregnant with these two boys, it would have been a different story. But not one of the four of them were calibrated to God's word. Esau and Jacob just rejected it. They didn't believe God's word was true, or they didn't want to accept it as being true. Rebekah and Jacob believed it, but they didn't have trust enough in God that He had the ability to pull it off. All four of them had a breakdown in faith. They didn't believe the word. They didn't believe God would keep His word. Based on what? What they got from their senses. If they had just calibrated to the word of God, it would have saved this family so much grief. Just understand, our senses are fallible, and we need to be informed by God's word, not by our senses, which then goes to our intellect, and we form opinions about them. And we have opinions, nothing wrong with opinions, but you make sure that you don't let your opinions masquerade as the final word and the final truth. You have your hand up, and I'll give you the floor for a moment. Yes. Gets us every time we get gotten, doesn't it? And the Word of God is very clear on that. Thank you, Jack. The second thing is this, calibration of the Word of God. Secondly is listening to the voice of the Spirit who indwells us. Do you realize as a believer, and I say this, I don't say this just to be quaint, I just don't know how else to say it. God in the person of the Spirit curls up and crawls inside of us when we get saved. He lives within us. He indwells us. How can that be? It's mind-blowing to me, but it's true. And He is there to lead us and to guide us. And I think how we engage Him is just we need to okay, Lord, I got to depend on your spirit here. My eyes can be fooled, my ears can be fooled, my mind can be fooled. I may think it's the absolute. I think Rebecca probably thought this is the right thing to do. I think she convinced herself of it. That was her opinion. But that wasn't spirit-led. That wasn't in accordance with the Word of God. Just remember, our opinions are always subject to review. God's Word isn't, and what God leads in this, in spirit, is. So we need to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading. And I found that so fascinating that all the senses are there, and all the senses in play led them to mess up Bill. If they would have calibrated the Word of God and let the Spirit of God lead them, how different the story. Chapter 27 in the book of Genesis could have been a wonderful time of God just bringing this family together and God just blessing. And yeah, it didn't make sense that the younger would rule over the older, but there's more than enough blessing to go around. But instead, it ends in just heartache and disaster. So just be warned. Be on guard. Our senses can be fooled. Our intellect is subject and prone to miscalculation. Make sure we are people of the Word, and we're people that lean on the Spirit of God. Father, thank you for some time in your Word tonight. Thank you for some time with your people. Thank you for letting us once again go through this old, old story. And Lord, we can learn a fresh and new set of lessons from it. Thank you for these that have invested here in the middle of this week, invested their time. Help us to use these things to recalibrate to your Word. And Lord, make us sensitive to your Spirit. Lord, we don't want anything to be done in our lives through self-will, trying to get our way, trying to force your hand for something to happen by using underhanded means like Rebecca did. We don't want to be obstinate like obviously Isaac was. Just, he wanted to bless Esau no matter what you said. We don't want to be like Esau that was just kind of this brutish man that kind of went his own way and still expected to be blessing. We don't want to be like Jacob that manipulates and tries to manipulate others and control them. Lord, we just want to be people that walk with you, and people that bring glory to you, and people that honor you, and people that in our character are becoming more like you each day. May you grant your grace to all of us in that regard, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Have a wonderful evening. Thanks for being here tonight.